Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In the seventh episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection on research at Warwick since 1965.
Research has long been a central pillar of university life and development. In the early 1960s, Lord Lionel Robbins published a report into the state of higher education at the time and the possibilities of expansion in the sector. The Robbins Report of 1963 stated that
"Research is a convenient word to cover the wide range of intellectual activities that serve to increase man's power to understand, evaluate, and modify his world and his experience."
Research was vital to the new university in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Like today, research took place across disciplinary boundaries. Fred Reed, a lecturer in the History Department, describes interdisciplinary research in the late 1960s.
It was, of course, enmeshed into the other arts departments because the university prided itself in not setting up a rigid departmental structure. It created what they called the School of Arts. And, you know, we were constantly meeting with people in the English department, people in the politics department, people in the French department. So there was a lot of interaction going on across the board, and there was a lot of interest in interdisciplinary work. You know, there was a sort of new fashion feeling that, you know, university scholarship had become far too specialised. That was very much a fashionable thing of the 1960s. The famous thing was that people studied the Peruvian earthworm for all of their lives. Nowadays, of course, that would be regarded as a perfectly respectable thing to do. But in those days, it was thought to narrow the mind and it may turn people into dry as dust specialists.
In recent years, the quality of academic research has been assessed on a national scale. The first research assessment exercise was undertaken in 1986, introducing an explicit and formalised assessment process of academic research. Further exercises have been held ever since, at 3 to 4 year intervals, and research continues to be assessed today through the Research Excellence Framework, or REF. James Hunt, finance director between 1993 and 2005, describes Warwick's performance in the very first research assessment exercise.
Warwick did well in the first ever research assessment exercise. And it was quite a surprise to people up and down the sector. This new place, not much known, seems to be doing all right in research. That's a bit, you know, fancy that. And it was reinforced by subsequent research assessment exercises. And then there were various particular things in the university that had the effect of attracting quite a bit of attention. I mentioned the Warwick Manufacturing Group in particular, whose development under Professor Bhattacharya was very well received in industry and in government and elsewhere. So that had a big impact on reputation too. And then I think the fact that Warwick just kept on growing and doing new things and starting stuff, people began to realised that there was sort of a few interesting things going on here. It began to look, if it wasn't a flash in the pan, there was, you know, pretty good academic activity going on.
Research assessment exercises had an impact on those working in academic departments. Malcolm Cooper, an academic in the physics department since 1970, describes the effect research exercises could have.
It, of course, highlighted the importance of high-quality research, and it was, in a sense, very disruptive for those members of academic staff who were more teaching-intensive than research-intensive, because they found they were being excluded from this exercise, whereas their contribution to the department was very important and remains very important. So it is divisive in a way, I feel.
As well as research assessments, changes in technology have had one of the most important influences on research since the university opened. Kate Asprey, an academic in the French department, describes technology when she arrived at the university in 1999 and in a pilot digitisation project of the Marinday Collection, a collection of 18th and 19th century French plays.
One of the first things I did when I arrived was have a meeting with the subject librarian, Peter Larkin, who showed me how to use the card catalogue, because back in the 1990s, back in the 20th century, not everything was on the online catalogue. There were sizable chunks of the old books were quite simply not on the online catalogue. They were still in card drawers. So he sort of showed me all the card drawers of 18th century material to show me what was there, and then mentioned the Marinday collection, 2,000 plays from 1700 to 1900 that the library had bought in the early 1970s to give it a sort of archival base to be a proper French department. The library needed proper archival resources to sort of match the older universities. So they'd bought all these plays and nobody had done anything with them since. So they'd sat sort of festering in their little archive boxes in the Modern Records Centre for 30 years and nobody touched them. I began by using them in my teaching as a sort of a starting point, because obviously there's a great potential to having a large collection of plays available. It then opens up the possibility for doing things with teaching. But in the sort of the shorter term, we digitised it, we created resources around it, created an online student journal so that the undergraduates doing their assessed essays, long assessed essays in their final year, if they're of 2-1 standard, they then automatically get published in the Marinday journal, so that there's then academic work on the collection actually freely available online as well.
In the next Voices of the University podcast, we shall hear more about the history of Warwick Arts Centre. For further details or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.